Is the transgender agenda the new normal? That's our topic during this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Robert Oscar Lopez. He is a professor at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Dallas. He used to be a professor of English at Cal State University Northridge, but he was basically forced to leave because his views are politically incorrect. Robert, thank you so much for joining us again.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Sure, so help us to understand the transgender agenda, and then we'll look at it from a biblical perspective.
Well, it was a top-down project. It came from the elites of society. This was not something that grew up naturally from the grassroots. You could say that there was an organic subculture of people who were involved in drag and drag performers, but that's not really what transgender politics is. The transgender agenda is this attempt to build upon fake science, really questionable science, and to carve out this new world order where people have the ability to change their actual sex. It's basically the elimination of birth sex as a category and as an identity. So it is something that could only be hatched among people who spend a lot of time in intellectual pursuits, indulging their own intellectual imagination and going to conferences and talking to other people who have the same far-out ideas. So it really hatched at the highest levels and then pushed down on people from the top down.
Mm. But it's gotten tremendous inroads. In fact, I read a story, I don't even follow pageants, but if I understood this correctly, it was saying that the Miss Universe winner might be a transgender person, which means this is a man who is now, because of surgery or whatever, supposedly a woman. But the DNA would still say this is a man.
Right. This is from Spain. The person's name is Angela. That's what he calls himself now as a woman. See, the problem is that in order to carry out this project where they claim that there are these people who were once identified, the language that they use is that people were assigned a gender at birth, but that's not really who they are, that because of their brain and because of their inner psychological makeup, they're actually the opposite sex. Because of that, it requires, first of all, massive intervention in the normal biological development of people. You have to give people drugs, you have to give them hormones or hormone blockers, and you have to surgically alter them in order to try to force their body to approximate the opposite sex. And then on top of it, you have to police everybody's language, and that's where it becomes very Orwellian and totalitarian. Mm. In the case of the contestant from Spain, this is a really good example. In Spanish, there is gender in almost every part of the language. The articles have gender, the words for the words for a or an, all the adjectives change according to gender. And that's not the case in English. In the English-speaking world, we came up with these ideas about transgenderism, and then we're imposing this on other parts of the world where it requires, ultimately, an entire reimagination of the language. And that means that you're basically having to force everybody to change the way that they think. So this is really a totalitarian movement. It's something that is trying to control the most intimate parts of people's thoughts. So it's really crazy. And you can see in the question of a beauty pageant, this also is a total contradiction of the left-wing ideals upon which this movement was born, because feminists did not want to celebrate beauty pageants. They felt that that was stereotypical. But now the transgender movement, which kind of grew out of the feminist movement, is celebrating beauty pageants because they're saying, look, this man can match all the stereotypes of a woman, and he can be so good at it that he can beat out all of these women to get the crown for Miss Universe.
Wow. And also we see this in high school sports. And in fact, it sometimes it's downright unfair. For example, I think at the state was Connecticut, there was some sort of track meet at the state level among high school students. And the girls, you know, were running these different things. Well, there was a boy who says, I'm a girl now, and he's a transgender or whatever, and you've got to treat me that way and call me this girl name and use the girl pronouns, et cetera, female pronouns. And he won. Well, listen, I do run, you know, I run 5Ks and 10Ks just for my fun. You know, I'm real slow and so forth, but I do it for exercise. The guys are, you know, I'm I don't mean to sound sexist, but the guys always win because it's something biological. And so anyway, this young man is able to compete against these girls and beat them, but he says he's a girl. Meanwhile, there's multi-$1,000 scholarships at stake and so forth. This is not just games. This is real lives, people, you know, being shattered, girls' dreams being stolen from them because of this crazy ideology.
Well, yes, because ultimately it's madness being imposed on people at a different scale. If you think about it, the reason why there are rules against steroid use in competitions is because steroids are fundamentally unhealthy, and they undermine the whole project of athletics, which is to try to measure the excellence that people can instill in themselves through training, right? It's cheating. And yet now they have this crisis because either you have men who are competing in women's competition because they're trans women, or you have women who continue to compete in female competitions, but they're taking steroids because they're transgender men. Do you know what I mean? They're taking testosterone and hormones that are illegal. Men can't take those drugs, and women shouldn't be taking those drugs because they're performance enhancers. But these are the same drugs that are being taken by people who are transitioning. So as long as you're transgender, you're allowed to do something which would be considered dangerous, unhealthy, and illegal, and cheating if it were anybody else.
You teach at a seminary from a biblical
Correct.
Perspective. What would you say if there's somebody who felt like, I've always felt like, even though I'm a boy, I grew up to be a man, I've always felt like I was basically a girl or a woman trapped in a man's body. What are your thoughts theologically, biblically?
You have a creator, and the creator is God. And if you are chasing after something that God did not create for you and that God did not design for you, that's basically covetousness. You're violating the 10th commandment. You're coveting what other people have. And it is not biblical. It's totally against God's design. God designed you with a purpose. I think that one of the reasons why we're struggling with transgenderism is because the Christian response to homosexuality was so clumsy. I think that once we had enough people in the church who were willing to twist around the scriptures and accept homosexuality, it was natural that this was going to result as the next step. Because if you can say that God designed male and female with matching genitals for the purpose of coming together and consummating a sex act and producing children, if you can say that you can play around with that, then of course people can change their own, you know, genitals, and you're basically rejecting God's design not only for your partner but also for yourself.
And you say this basically as a formerly gay man yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I think that this is, I believe that one of the challenges that we're facing now is that there are all these people who see the trans movement and they are alarmed, and they were people who were okay, you know, in some cases, with gay marriage. They didn't think that the homosexuality issue was that big of a deal because it seemed like it was a small number of people. Now they see transgenderism with the dangerous surgery, with the crazy language policing, and with the hormone injections and all of these consequences, and they're freaking out. But I have to tell them that there's no way to be pro-gay and then against the trans movement. They go together. If you open the door to one, all of the assumptions that you are accepting and all of the compromises that you are accepting are going to lead to transgenderism. So we have to tackle all of it in one fell swoop.
But you'll often hear the phrase along these lines, but this is who I am.
Right. I mean, that's error. That's when you're allowing the world to distract you. You're losing your sight on God and what God's design was for you. I mean, literally, this is the most obvious, because God literally designed your body one way, and now because you are jealous or you're covetous of what other people are living, you know, you think the opposite sex is so much happier and you really want that. It's not who you are. It's a longing. It's a desire that you have, and that longing and desire is really in rebellion against God. There's no other way to characterize that.
All right. Now, comment on the level of suicides, because it's my understanding that those, for example, Walt Heyer of sexchangeregrets.com, he says that, you know, despite society's acceptance, the level of people who commit suicide after getting these sex changes years later is extremely high.
It is. I think, again, this was an outgrowth to some degree of what we got wrong on the gay debates. Very often when we were debating gay issues, we didn't challenge people when they said, oh, you've got to affirm gay people because otherwise they're going to kill themselves. You know, what the mistake that was being put out there when we were debating homosexuality was to characterize everything as a question of stigma. They thought that all the problems that faced a homosexual was the stigma that other people felt towards them because of the fact that they were homosexual. In reality, most of the problems that a homosexual faces are problems that come from the lifestyle itself. The sex is very dangerous. It spreads a lot of diseases. It doesn't give you the same kind of physical pleasure or emotional connectedness that you get from heterosexual sex. So that then compounds itself because you have a community of all people who are trying to get from their sex act something that is impossible. And so it leads to very toxic levels of strife between individuals and antisocial behavior, and so you become more and more unhappy because you're plunging deeper and deeper into this community. In the trans situation, it's the same thing. The reason why the suicides remain high is because the problem does not come from the fact that people are rejecting you or people are prejudiced against you. The problem is that you are at war with your body, and you're never going to win that war, even if you cut off your genitals, and even if you start taking drugs to try to appear like the opposite sex, you're still at war. There's always going to be things that your body is doing that remind you that you are not a woman, or in the other case, that you're not a man. You're not going to have the same level of body hair or smooth skin as the opposite sex. Your voice is going to be sound different. You know, everything is, you can't change your bone structure. You know, you're going to have broad shoulders, you know, and you're still at war with it because the problem is not the stigma. The problem is not other people's perception of you. The problem is the activity itself. You're involved in an activity of fighting against your own body.
So these are kind of natural consequences of unnatural acts.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we got so used to the bad way that we were debating the gay issues, I think that we opened the door to these problems when it came to the trans issues. Because we should have, from the very beginning, when we were debating homosexuality, said to people, hey, look, the problem is not the stigma that people show towards you because you're identified as gay. The problem is that what you are doing with your body when you are involved in homosexual activity is harmful, and it's going to make you unhappy. Right? But because we never went there, instead we constantly let the debate center around how people viewed homosexuals, whether there was homophobia or prejudice. Now the trans community is trying to do the same thing. They want all the debate to be about whether we accept them or love them, or whether we go along with them, or whether we're willing to affirm or support them. And none of that makes a difference, because what's really making them unhappy is the fact that they are engaged in activities that amount to a war against their own body, and they're constantly doing things that are physically hurting themselves because they're trying to force their body to fit into a mold that is impossible.
Okay, we have less than a minute to go. When you were in the homosexual lifestyle, you were gay, quote unquote. Were you happy?
No, I was miserable. That's why I was so happy to get out.
Really? But so, that's interesting, because you talk to some people who will lead you along the lines to say, hey, I'm, you know, this is who I am and I love it. I'm happy.
Well, they are in many cases not telling you the truth, or they just don't understand themselves, you know, or there's something that has thrown them off kilter. But ultimately, you can look at the human body and look at the shape of our bodies and the shape of the lower part of our bodies, and you can see that obviously if you're engaged in sex with the opposite sex, the pleasure, the comfort, the pleasantness, the connectedness, and the natural feeling of satisfaction are just objectively a lot greater. And that, of course, has an impact on your emotional health.
And you say that as a formerly gay man who is now happily married with two children. We're out of time. Englishman,
yes.
IF, englishmanif.blogspot.com is your website for more information. Robert Oscar Lopez. Thank you so much for being with us, Robert.
Thank you very much.
Okay, all the best. Bye-bye.